Welcome to the Center for Spiritual Living Bellingham podcast. We hope this message will be informative, inspirational, and helpful. Donations to support this work are greatly appreciated. Visit www.cslbellingham.org and click on the donate button. Remember to share our podcast. Thank you.
My name is Leo Brody. I'm one of the practitioners here, one of the many practitioners. And you can recognize the practitioners because we wear these stoles when we are being practitioners. And Rana is another practitioner who's on duty today. Anyway, there's a hierarchy. You don't need to know about that. And it changes all the time. And we have Wanda and we have Kalish. I think those are the people who are wearing stoles today. So any one of us who are wearing a stole on that particular day at a service, you're welcome to come up and talk to any of us if you have any questions or if you'd like a little quick prayer or anything like that or just some kind of spiritual advice or whatever. We don't like to give so much advice, but we pray for you. We let God do the work. So I want to also let you know that you can request prayers by writing on a slip of paper in the back on a prayer request form, and there's a little ceramic kind of jar over there on that table. And just fill that out, and then we'll pray for you, and because we love doing that. That's what we're here for. And the thing is, we know we are all connected, right? There's one consciousness. That's what we believe here. And that one consciousness operates through all of us. So we really are, even though we have these illusions of being separate and kind of lonely, it's all lonely in here, but actually it's not, because we're really connected. And that's one of the truths that we come here to this place to remind ourselves of. So right now I'd like to remind you to turn off your cell phones. And after that, just denoise them, right? Then I'd ask you to join me in a prayer. Turn within to that one quiet place inside you where the world outside is distant. The noise of the world is on the other side. You can be quiet in here, and you can know who you are. And we know, and I know, that there is one presence, one divine presence, and that presence lives through me and is me as me. And my role is to show up here as that divine presence for myself and to share it with everyone I meet. And so I'm grateful to be part of this service where we will be reminded of these spiritual truths and these beliefs and get to know each other hopefully a little better in a community of like-minded people. And with that, I say, and so it is.
Deep breath in. Nice way to start the day, huh? Glad you're here. Thank you to all of our musicians today. I'll start with a blessing from John O'Donohue since I just got back from Ireland. And this is for you. Awaken to the mystery of being here and enter the quiet immensity of your presence. Have joy and peace in the temple of your senses. Receive encouragement when new frontiers beckon. Respond to the call of your gift and the courage to follow its path. Let the flame of anger free you of all falsity. May warmth of heart keep your presence alive. May anxiety never linger about you. May your outer dignity mirror and inner dignity of soul. Take time to celebrate the quiet miracles that seek no attention. Be consoled in the secret cemetery of your soul. May you experience each day as a sacred gift woven around the heart of wonder. Sort of goes with the song. We do that sometimes. We don't know what we're doing, but we do that anyway. So for those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Andrea Acevedo. And recently, like last 2 weeks, my husband Joe and I took a group on a spiritual tour to the west of Ireland and Edinburgh, Scotland, and parts of Scotland. And so I was planning to do a talk on overcoming time, which was part of our theme for this month, which is breaking the habit of being yourself. And then on the trip, someone said, well, you're going to do the thing you do when you take people on spiritual trips. You're going to talk about it, right? And I went, oh, okay, sure, I can do that. And so I thought I would tell you a little bit about what the spiritual part of that trip was designed around this time. Joe and I in Mexico, when we were on sabbatical, really dove into what would we want people to experience on this trip, and this is true of you here as well, and what we would want people on the spiritual path to experience is breaking free from time, the time that we spend doing our habitual routines and kind of same old, same old, and have the experience that travel offers of stepping away from all of that. You can't hear me? Oh. How are we doing now? Better? Okay. And so we designed this tour around a pre-Christian Celtic practice. And these practices, there are 12 of them. And so we invited the group into wanting to be part of these practices as we went along. And so I've brought you some slides that illustrate these practices, and I wanted to talk to you about these because you don't have to go away to do these things. You can, and sometimes it's helpful to leave behind the mundane for a time, taking out the compost and, you know, all the things we do, and just be away. But actually, these practices are meant to be daily opportunities. So let's have the first slide, Christine. So the first practice is something that the Celts and particularly the Irish love to this day, and it's the practice of thresholds. And so, you know, for the Celtic mind, every day holds different thresholds of opportunity. So from dark to dawn is a sacred time in the Irish mind because we're moving from the mystery of dark into the lightening and opening and brightening of our own being. And the same is true with the passage from day into night. So very beautiful thresholds that are built into our daily life, but also they love edges. And this is taken, it's about 800 feet above sea level here in a fort, a ring fortress that was designed by people that were in the BCE era. It's called Dun Angasi. And this particular ring fort was a fort where people would gather. It was up on a kind of a promontory, and the only way in was through the very narrow opening that they had created, and the only way out was the same way, and so it was very protected so that when people attacked, they would gather all their cattle and their sheep and their people and move into the ring fort, and they could barricade that door and be safe. But it also was a place of deep practice. And so this sunset was taken about 10 o'clock at night. They're sort of the same latitude as us, so it was the sun was setting. And so for thresholds, for me, the practice became one of paying attention to opportunities that presented themselves that I might not be normally aware of. So even things as simple as stepping outside the door of my inn and noticing what was happening around me. At one point, Joe and I walked part of the Dingle Way, which is a circular trail that moves through the countryside of the Kerry Peninsula. And so we were walking, and it was an opportunity to kind of just be with our steps and the moving and the sheep and the heat and the. So edges and thresholds in your life, as well as in mine, provide an opportunity for the mind to transport itself beyond looking down at what's having to happen, and instead looking up and out to a new horizon. The second practice that the Celts were very invested in were dreams. And I must say that many of us had interesting dreams on this trip. Maybe it was the food. I don't know if you've ever had black pudding, haggis. Yeah, well, it doesn't agree with everybody. But dreams are, how many of you actually have kept a dream journal from time to time? Raise your hand. Yeah, I mean, it's a thing. And it's a thing because the dreamscapes that are presented to us in that dark time are an opportunity for what is needed to be brought forward in archetypal imagery. For a long time as a therapist, I studied dreams with a wonderful woman who presented the idea that dreams, if they are not interrupted, are like a Shakespearean play. And I thought that was a fascinating idea. So there was the intro to the whole theme of the dream, and then there was the action of the dream, and then there was some sort of conclusion. And when she taught me that, all of a sudden my dreams started being different in terms of, like, I could understand what they were trying to bring to me. So dreams. So we had people from time to time sort of talk about dreaming. And then this next one, this slide, represents the third practice, which is a really interesting practice. It's wandering. And wandering in that time and in that culture, wandering was done by monks and nuns who had studied the Desert Fathers. So this is really early Christianity, but blended with this Celtic understanding of the divine within nature. And so what they would do is they would create these coracles, which are made of animal hides, and then they would use tar, and they would seal the animal skin. They would get in this thing, can you imagine, and set out on the open sea with no destination in mind. Now, personally, I find that somewhat terrifying. How about you? But their faith was so strong in the guidance that was within them that they used this technique to bring themselves to the threshold, to the edge, and to allow the wandering to take them where they were supposed to go, which is why many of the islands in Ireland and Scotland have these incredible beehive structures that these wandering monks and nuns would build when they reached land. And they would set about building these incredible structures. I don't know if you've seen them. I didn't have a really good picture. I would have brought it. But they're watertight to this day. And they would live in isolation and allow themselves to be guided in what they were to do and understand about their spiritual path. So you and I can do this very easily here. Here in this area, there are so many forests, so many paths, so many lakes, so many places where we can simply allow ourselves to wander and maybe not follow the regular path, but sort of go off into, as guidance would bring us, into a place where we have time to listen deeply to what's being asked of us. And that's what these monks and nuns did. And so one of the most famous of the people who did this actually became kind of a cult figure, and I can't remember if it's the next slide, but let's see if it is. Yes. So this is called, I never remember it, the exact, okay, Galerus Oratory. And this structure is 1,500 years old. It's an example of beehive architecture, except that it's a chapel. And it's all of the buildings that are sacred are lined up east to west. So that in the back of this is a window that lets in the eastern sun rise, and in the west catches the sunset. And this was created for a man named St. Brennan, or sometimes called Brendan. And he actually had a cult following because he was a wanderer, and his wandering took him to places that people were really interested in understanding. So it's actually said of St. Brennan that he actually discovered America before the Vikings. And he did that in a coracle. It's just unbelievable, really. And so people would come and they would celebrate with him, and then they would set off to find their own way in their own destiny through this practice of wandering. So the next practice is blessing. And I gave you a blessing as we started. But in the Irish mind and in the Celtic mind, blessing is something that's done just like in the ancient Jewish tradition. It's done from the moment you wake up to the moment you go to sleep. And you bless things through the day. The tradition in many of these ancient spiritual traditions is before your feet even hit the ground in the morning, you are blessing the day, you are blessing that you're awake again and alive in this world and able to celebrate it, and on it goes through the day. And certainly, I don't know if you know this, but there's one practitioner in particular that takes the time to bless every single seat before the Sunday service and the people that will sit there. So it's a practice. And what is it about that? You know, well, yes, there's an awareness of blessing when you're doing that. You know, like, oh, I can see, I can bless my eyes. Oh, I can hear. Oh, I can walk. Oh, I can talk. But more than that, that's all true, but more than that, the practice of blessing is in every spiritual tradition connected to gratitude. And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but when our hearts are filled with gratitude, the world is complete in that moment. And so, no kidding, that blessing everything would fill our awareness, our consciousness with the power of gratitude and allow us to then move in the world in a different way than in the mundane way of semi-conscious living. It's just that way. And so if there's one practice I would say to pick up after this talk, it's to just spend a couple days. You don't have to even do it for a whole week, but a couple days really practicing blessing, remembering to do it, remembering to see it, remembering to bring awareness to that, and just notice what happens for you. Meister Eckhart said, if the one prayer you say in your whole life is thank you, that will be enough. And that's been a powerful motivator for me with this particular practice. Now, the next practice is called Anamkara. And so there I am. And in the middle is a Celtic shamaness named Noreen Turain. And of course, our own Reverend Deborah on the other side. And Noreen is a priestess and joined our tour for the opportunity to bless us with her teachings. And then she took us to St. Bridget's Well. But I have this picture up because of the practice of Anamkara. So in the Celtic mind, your soul is not complete until you have found your Anamkara. Anam meaning soul, and Kara, friend, so a soul friend. And what the soul friend is about finding a mentor or a spiritual guide or an advisor or someone that at a very different level than the personality level completely accepts you as you are. So it's someone that you can literally show your whole self to, unafraid of judgment, and vice versa. And so it's a very unique relationship. Sometimes it's a love relationship, but often it's not. It's a friendship, a deep, solid core friendship that allows the heart and the soul of a being to be witnessed. And so I don't know if you have an Onamkara. But I remember my mom, long time ago, when I was sad about only having one or two friends, she said, well, you know, you're very lucky to have two. She said, many people wander the world with no one who really sees them and really accepts them just as they are. She said, you know, in your lifetime, you might be lucky enough to have more than two, but bless the ones you have. And I thought that was such good advice from a woman who also was looking for Onamkara. So Noreen took us to St. Bridget's Well, and I think that's the next slide. Nope. Well, let me tell you about this. Some of you maybe have experienced this. I know my last class, many of you did, moving meditation, and that's what this is. And it's done in one of the most ancient stone circles on the island of Ireland. And we got there in time to practice in the middle of that stone circle. And what we're doing there is one of the practices, one of the 12 practices, and it's called encircling. And this is a practice as old as time for people everywhere. And what it involves is moving and understanding that around, above, below, to the right, to the left, is spirit. And so we move with that understanding, encircling ourselves with that understanding. And so all of us, the whole group did it, even the woman with the broken foot. And after we did this practice, you can kind of see the stones. They're very worn, of course, because they're very old. But on the outside of the circle, we practice the next practice of these pre-Christian folks, which is called walking the rounds. And the Celtics' mind has a thing about threes. And so wherever we went in a spiritual sense, we invited people to walk. And this lended itself to walking around. So we set our intention for the trip. This is our first day out from Dublin. And we asked people to think of three intentions that they wanted to hold for themselves, three essential things, which is another one of the 12 practices. And then as they were walking, focusing on each of those intentions as they walked around. And this is ancient, you know, from the very earliest times, people would set three intentions, and every single person was different. It wasn't like the whole group of people had the same intention. Everyone had one that was unique to their spiritual path. So, for example, mine were joy, love, and I think the third one was patience, allowing. And so the first round I focused on joy, the second on love, etc. So we walked the rounds, and then we asked people to do something before they even got to Ireland, which is the 10th practice, learning by heart. And of course, in all these ancient traditions, writing wasn't happening. It was an oral tradition. And so particularly in Ireland and Scotland and Wales, there was a tradition of memorizing poetry and story and song and then sharing it. And so everyone that went on the trip was invited to memorize a poem and bring the first line of the poem to our first gathering so that we could hear from each person something that was heart singing for them. So we move on. The next one, there's Bridget's Well in that enclosure, and there's Noreen, and there's our whole group. And this practice is the practice of allowing ourselves to actually be blessed, and not just to bless, but to be blessed by nature and by the holiness of these sacred sites. This is one of two wells we visited. When you go in there, the spring that feeds the well is there. But before you even get to the spring, lining the walls on both sides are pictures of the beloveds that have passed away. And the person bringing their pictures is asking for blessing, for safe transit, for the soul going on. There's people that have been healed and they've left symbols of their healing. And as you go to the very spring itself, you're invited to kneel down and reach in and bring water up as a blessing for yourself. This particular well is known for healing rheumatism and sight. So, very interesting. Next slide. So, mostly though, the practices all center around the practice of solitude and silence. So, this was a silent walk. And in the distance there, you'll see an island that looks like a giant laying down. And this is way out on the farthest reaches of Ireland on the west. And we are silently walking toward another well. And that was the practice for a lot of us, for a lot of the time, was solitude, silence, moving with nature, being awake in it, and allowing the divine that is said to be right below the surface of reality to speak to us in the thin places like this. And I think that might be the last slide. I can't remember. Oh, this is the last one, I'm pretty sure. This is the ruin of a castle in Scotland. And I brought it to you because this was one of the thin places. This was a place where certainly the fog helped make it seem very mystical. But it was a place of just this incredible beauty and solitude and also ferocity. So the Scots, of course, like the Irish, were bombarded by Cromwell. And in this castle, the crown jewels of Scotland were being held. And Edinburgh fell. The cities all along the way to this castle fell to the Cromwellian forces, who were mercenaries, essentially, and were told that whatever town they captured, they got to take whatever they wanted. So this was the last holdout. And they didn't win. And so there's a ferocity, not only to the landscape, because I don't know if you can see, but way down there, right by the fence post, is the ocean. So there's no way out. The people that were in this, they were in this to the death. And so they were there. They fended them off. The only way into that castle is you go way down, and then you go way up, and you're very exposed. So it's a place for the warrior nature, yes, but it's also a place of tremendous transcendence. And so we experienced nature as the divine there. Okay, I think that might be it. Yeah. So why am I bringing this to you? I'm bringing this to you because in order for us to live a spiritually oriented life, which I know you're all interested in, or you wouldn't be here, there's a need from time to time to invoke a different way of living, even if it's going away to a place to do that, going to a retreat or going to a monastery or going on a spiritual trip. But we don't have to go anywhere to experience the presence of the divine in all things, what we have to do is we have to go in our mind and heart. So it's more about that than about going somewhere. And so the intention of the talk, Overcoming Time, was an invitation to really consider that you could, if you wanted, have an incredibly different and beautiful experience of living, even better than what you have now. That it's completely within the realm of the vast energetic field that contains all possibility. It's completely within the realm of possibility that you could have whatever kind of experience you wanted on a spiritual level as well as a mundane level. What it takes, however, is being different. You can't have a different experience unless you're different. It just is that simple. Because wherever you go, there you are, as Confucius used to say. And so for us, sitting here in this beautiful space, the invitation is really simply to consider, is it time to take a pilgrimage internally to the place where all possibility resides, to practice being different in your day while understanding what it is that you would like to experience differently. So using the practices, using what you know, using your capacity to visualize and understand, but then also stepping into actually being different, not just thinking about it, not just, you know, reading books, but actually being different. And that's the challenge of the spiritual path, at least for me, is that kind of invitation to be in a different space, in a different way of thinking, in a different way of acting, so that the differences that I want to see in my life can unfold. So I'll do a prayer for that, and then we'll go into the next part of the service. So just in case there's anyone listening, here or on the live stream, that's ready to have a deeper dive into a deeply spiritual, different experience, know with me as I know for you and for me, we truly are surrounded by, immersed in, a presence that is divine and sacred and available. It didn't go anywhere. It's completely here. And so I bring myself to the here and now, knowing that the divine is resident within me and within you, resident within all of nature. And as I remember this, I accept for myself, and you can accept for yourself in the same way, that because the divine is present, anything and everything is possible. There is no impossibility to this sacred one. And so I accept an opening, a deep connection, not just to nature, not just to those I love, but a deep connection to the divine unfolding in me, opening me in ways known and also ways I don't know yet, so that my heart is freed, my mind is open, and the presence of the divine is my guiding light. As I open to this guidance, I know that each step of the way will be revealed, and I practice patience in paying attention to the next right step along this opening way. This way allows me to experience life with tremendous joy, to actually experience my life as a blessing, even in the midst of all the silly, crazy stuff that human beings are up to. I am unrattled, I am settled, I am freed to know the deepest knowing and to live from that place. And I'm so grateful, and so it is.